When your enemy comes at you, welcome them with open arms and gently send them on their way. But when your enemy is public speaking, the adrenaline goes, right? And you just want to get out of the way, not send them on the way. Anyway, well, wow, thanks. Thanks, Don, for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it, elders. Little ADD, addled brain, so this may be a little disjointed. If it is, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to suffer with it. But, and I think that the screen will be projected for those who are on Zoom. So I kind of thought about what I wanted to talk about. In 1951, Ray Bradbury did a story in a book called The Illustrated Man. And that story was called The Man. And the story is about this astronaut and his crew that land outside of a town on a foreign planet someplace. And the captain is going, well, those town folks are going to be here soon. We know. They're going to welcome us with open arms. They're going to see us. They saw us. They waved at us as we flew over. And he waits, and he waits. Nobody comes out of the town. And his first officer goes, well, maybe they didn't see us. He says, no, I know they saw us. This must be that other captain. He got here before us, and he just blew this whole show for us. So sends his first officer into town, and the first officer goes and comes back and goes, look, they're not coming. They're not coming to see you. And he goes, but why? Well, I can't explain it. It's just, you have just got to see it. You came a day after they had a visitor. They had this visitor. I don't know what his name is. They don't know what his name is. Just this man that he just did these, said all these great things. He taught love and peace and understanding. He healed the sick and the blind. And the captain goes, you don't mean. And his first officer goes, absolutely, that's what I mean. Oh, that's not true. That can't happen. This is a fraud. And so what happens is the first officer says, you know what, captain? I'm not leaving with you. I believe. I've seen it in these folks. I'm going to stay. And the captain goes, you know, it must be. It must be true. I got to go find him. And he takes off in his rocket ship. And his intent is to stay the course and go every planet. Maybe he'll miss him by an hour. Maybe he'll miss him by a day. But he's going to go and continue going. But my question was, the townspeople, would every one of them have seen the captain or seen the man? Would every one of them have seen the man? And so that led me to my question. So this morning I want to consider who in the region where Jesus and even John preached would not have heard the word? Who in the region would not have heard the word? Well, let's take a look. Now, if you look at what scholars tell us, Jesus and John collectively could have preached anywhere from 4 to 12 years. There are some scholars that believe John preached all the way up to 36 AD. Okay, so who cares about the dates, right? They were there collectively preaching in a region that was maybe 180 miles long by 40 miles wide or something to that effect. And they were preaching, and there were a lot of people in that area, right? Scholars tell us that there were probably 3 million in Galilee alone. The estimated population of Jerusalem was 60 to 70K at that time. At Passover, it ballooned to 100 plus 150K. And so this environment is where we come into, right? Where, who would have heard? Who would have missed the message, right? And we see John and his preaching along the Jordan. And we see that people come from all over to see him. They come from all over. All of Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around Jordan went out to see him. And what was John preaching? He's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. There's something new. There's something you have to do. And so when we look at Jesus, he preaches all over the area also, right? It is estimated that Jesus traveled by foot over 3,000 miles in his ministry. 3,000 miles. That's walking from the East Coast to the West Coast. How long would that take you? Normal human beings, it takes, you know, a year at least, right? Especially if you're stopping and you're talking to folks, what have you. And everyone comes out to see Jesus. Everyone. All the region, Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, everyone beyond the Jordan. The multitudes come out to see him. And what is he preaching? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There is something you got to do. And people are saying, what is this new thing? What is this thing I've got to do? What is this new message that's coming out, right? And there's this sense of urgency. In Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. There's this sense of urgency that seems to be out there. This, I need to get and see this new message. I need to go and see what's going on, right? It's an imperative that something new had arrived. All the things you had been doing and thinking and experiencing, they're changing. And that's the message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because there's something new afoot. So then who would not have heard? Who would not have heard this message? Would politicians not have heard the message? Surely not, right? Herod went and sought to kill children 2 years old and under, right? 30 years in preparation, right? All of Jerusalem had already taken notice of something special happening. Pilate was involved, right? He found out that there's nothing, I find no fault in this man. And with John, right? Herod arrests and eventually beheads John. When you make politicians afraid, they take notice. People take notice. Politicians in that region would have heard about Jesus and his ministry. And John, I mean, all the people believed John was a prophet. What segments of the population would not have heard about Jesus? Would it be the Jewish and religious sections, religious segments of the population? Surely not. The chief priests and scribes had some 30 years of forewarning. They saw the signs. They were there. They would have had a collective knowledge that Herod had sent out people to kill every male 2 years or every child 2 years and older from the region. They would have been upset at that because they would be primarily Jewish children. They would have had a collective knowledge, right? Of course they would have heard, right? Here are John and Jesus preaching this gospel that is in conflict to what they are trying to get the people to do. Something new, something different. There would be collective memory about what has been going on. They could read the signs. Luke 2:46, right? So now it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Not only would they have no collective memory of the children being killed, here he comes at 12 years, here Jesus comes at 12 years old, years later, and he gets noticed. There's something new afoot. In Matthew 21, 25, right? The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. When your message makes people afraid, word gets out. If politicians were afraid and upset, if the Jewish and or the religious sector was afraid and upset, people will know. It will be preached from the pulpit, right? You will hear the message. The cleansing of the temple, right? The whole commotion that's going on there. Christ turns over tables. People are upset. People are saying, hey, look, here he is. Hosanna. Hosanna, son of David. Well, that makes the religious sector afraid. What about soldiers in the military? I mean, would they have heard the message? Would they have seen something? Well, surely, right? They even are going out to John and saying, hey, what shall we do? What shall we do? And John says, be content with your wages. Do violence to no man. But they're searching. The centurion servant. Centurion, what? A leader of 100 men, probably a company commander size in our vernacular. He goes out and he seeks Jesus, and in Matthew 8 and 5 he says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he says to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And we know the end of the story, right? The servant is healed. What message would that centurion have taken back to his troops, to his household? What influences would those troops give to their families and their households? Who had not heard this message? In John 18 and 12, we see that there was a detachment of troops that arrested Jesus. And we know the story, right? We know the story that they came and took Jesus. And at that junction, the high priest's servant's ear was chopped off. And what happens? Jesus heals it. The soldiers sitting there witnessed this. What message would they take to their families? What message would they take to their troops? And even at the end, towards Jesus' crucifixion in Matthew 27, the soldiers guarding or surrounding Jesus were called a garrison. A garrison was 600 troops. 600 troops. Maybe not all of them were there, but there were a lot of soldiers there. And they witnessed his walk to the crucifixion. Would there have been a message there? Surely. What about merchants and businesses? What about merchants? Would there have been a message to businessmen and merchants? Surely. Right? We already talked about Jesus turning over the tables. But he's doing more than this. He's saying, no, you can't bring this stuff in here. You can't carry this stuff through the temple. Right? He's making a whip, and he's chasing merchants out of the temple. Would the merchant community, would businessmen hear about this? Their livelihoods being threatened? Would they have heard about this? Surely. Which segments of the population would not have heard about Jesus? How about common folk? Wow, right? Multitudes upon multitudes, great multitudes, seek out Jesus. Seek out the message. And what's his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Seeking out the message. Think about the multitudes as he comes in to Jerusalem. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Reminds me of a song from the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know if you've seen it or know it. But Simon, the opening scene for Jesus Christ Superstar is this song, Hosanna, Hazanna, right? Hosanna. And Simon goes, Christ, what more do you need to convince you that you have made it easily and you're as strong as the filth who rape our country and who've terrorized our people for so long? There must be over 50,000 screaming love and more for you. Every one of 50,000 would do what you asked them to do. Think about that. Christ could have called 10,000 angels. He could have turned that crowd against the oppressors, but he did not. He knew where he's going. Who would not have heard that commotion of Christ coming in to Jerusalem? Who would not have heard it? Who would not have asked, what is this new thing? What about the sick and the handicapped? Would they have heard the message? Absolutely, right? He healed many. He healed the blind, the crippled. If you're a mother of a crippled son, and you know that someone is being able to heal those folks, you would do everything to grab that child and bring him to Jesus. You would do everything. If you were sick, you would, oh, I hear there's someone healing someone. Let's go. Who would not have heard that there was a great prophet, a great man, a great group of people healing the sick, healing the blind? John 20 and 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And there were also many other things that Jesus did, which were not written, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Who in the region would not have heard about Jesus? So this brings us to the question, right? Luke 24:13-21, the story. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, and which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together, and all of these things which had happened. So it was when they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another?" Then the one whose name was Clopas answered and said, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And the conversation goes on, but the point is, are you the only stranger here? You don't know what's going on? Everyone knows what's going on. Everyone. Everyone knows. That's why people didn't come out and visit the rocket ship. Everyone knew. That's why when we get to the crux of the matter of our lesson this morning is this. Right? Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that we are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Our denominational friends use this set of scriptures to say, baptism is not necessary for salvation. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. How do you know? How do you know? He feared God, right? Obviously, he feared God. He knew something of the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is. To know God is to know fear, whether it's fear of dying without him, to know God is to know fear, or the joy and respect, the fear and awesomeness that he brings in our lives. Who would not have heard? Would the thief on the cross have heard? What does he say? He says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Why would he call him Lord? Christ was just a carpenter's son hanging on the cross next to him. Why would he call him Lord unless he had heard the message of God, of Jesus? Unless he had heard what had gone throughout the region? Why? Why would he call him Lord? We know that Lord is a sign of respect, right? The idea that a Lord owns whatever it is that belongs to him, that he is the possessor of it, that he can dispose of it. It is a title and of honor and expressive of respect and reverence with which servants greet their master. And the thief said, "Lord, remember me." But then what? He says, "Lord, remember me." Why? When you come into your kingdom. When you come into your kingdom. Where would he have heard that? John and Jesus, right? The region preaching. "Repent, For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's within grasp. That's what a hand means. You can have it. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not only would John, they have heard John potentially and Jesus, but look at Matthew 10, right? These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. It's estimated the population of the region was anywhere from, you know, depending on what scholar, 4 to 6 million folks. Who would not have heard this message? Politicians have heard it. The religious sector has heard it. Common people have heard it. They flocked to Jesus. They flocked to John. They heard the message. Very simple lesson. When we look at that story that Ray Bradbury put out, he goes, why aren't they coming out? And then when the first officer goes in and he talks to them, and he says, oh, you just got to see them. You got to look in their eyes. You got to see who they are. Are you the person that someone can look in their eyes and go, I see Jesus. I believe because I see you. I believe because you are the witness. Are you that person? Because that's what Hebrews 11:1 is telling us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My faith, your faith, is the concrete evidence of things we can't see. Will we be like the captain and try and chase the concrete, other concrete evidence when it's right in front of us? Surely not. My faith should be evident to those that come in contact with me. Your faith should be evident. You are the witness. You are the concrete evidence. Look at how expansive the knowledge of Christ is. The corners of the world that people know about Christ. Oh, wait. What's today? Today's the 25th, right? Today is Christmas, supposedly. And every radio is playing a message of Christ. Yes, his birth, a message of peace, a message of hope. Who has not heard of Christ? They haven't seen evidence. They've heard a song. And you're the evidence. Don't let an escapist philosophy say that the thief on the cross wasn't baptized because he had knowledge. It's an assumption to say he wasn't baptized. Based on his testimony, his witness, I would make the assumption the other way. That he was because he knew the kingdom, because he called Christ Lord, because he repented and knew why he was on the cross, and he feared God. If we make assumptions, let's make the assumption the way it should be. Is your faith evident to those you come in contact with? Is it? Or are you hiding it? Because you're the concrete evidence, right? You, Christians. So like I half expected I would do, I rushed through this. So, but, you know, it is the 25th, and I'm sure you can find good meals to eat and what have you. But the point is, as being evidence, the first thing we do is an act to seal our commitment to God, and that act is baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, namely the light figure, baptism doth now save us, doth now also save us. Baptism, getting in the water, a sign and a washing of your sins away, of your commitment and act that is not negotiable in your salvation. Not negotiable. If you haven't been baptized, you should do it right now. You should do it right now if you haven't been baptized. If your life isn't right, you should confess that right now. Right now. The water's here.
Well, you might have to get down really low.
But the water's here. If you need to be baptized, if you're subject to the call, if you've seen the evidence of our congregation, our members, if you're subject to the call, why don't you come while we stand and sing?